Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls here today on New Life Live.
Appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that the children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean,
what's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi,
now,
Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hi,
Henry.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Now.
What a blistering opening to the show. Let's try again.
But,
hi, guys.
Hey,
hi,
good
how
to be
are
here.
You?
Really?
That's better. That's better.
I gotta cover something because it is the end of the year, and it's time that many people send in a once-a-year gift or an extra gift. And I just want to remind everybody that we are not for profit, and we're deeply grateful for every gift that we get, whether it's a dollar or thousands of dollars. We know that God measures the heart and the sacrifice much more than the amount. And we know that you've got a lot of choices to make when you think about giving. You know, we believe in the local church, and we don't ever suggest that you give to us instead of your church. But we do believe that we're a unique ministry in the Christian world and worthy of the support after you give to your church. So let me read to you a letter that we received to give you a feel of how God works with New Life. It says, because of your program, I've learned that it's okay to be flawed because God loves me anyway. That was a significant revelation for me in moving to accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I always felt like if I became a Christian, that I had to be perfect. I thought that God couldn't possibly be able to forgive me over and over again for making the same stupid mistakes. You, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Dave Stuke put the seemingly complicated words of God into kid terms for me. I am a work in progress, and you made me realize that this is okay. Well, I just love that. She became a Christian because she learned through this radio program that it's okay to be real, not to be phony, and to feel unworthy just because we blow it once in a while. So that's a changed life, and that's our mission. And if you resonate with this lady that wrote this, that wrote the person who wrote the, if you resonate with this lady, please consider making a year-end gift. We appreciate gifts of every size. And, you know, it might be a dollar or two. It might be thousands of dollars. God measures the heart. But thank you. And if you can make a year-end gift, if you can give one of three ways, you could call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. You could go online to newlife.com, or you could send a gift to P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. That's P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. If you put it in the mail by 12/31, it can be deductible in 2011. But thank you all who've already given. Thank you for those who have come through. You new supporters, thank you. Those of you who have been regular supporters and have given again, thank you for helping us stay on the air. And every person that I'm looking at right here, we're all supporters of this ministry. We're on the ministry. We give to the ministry. Some of us, we cut our salaries for the ministry. We do what we can do to stay on the air. We cut expenses. We do everything we can to be good stewards of whatever God gives us. And so if God's leading you, I just ask that you respond to what God is doing, not to any pressure, not to anything other than this is what you believe God wants you to do. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll go right to the calls after this. You are listening to New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help, or you can go to the website, newlife.com. We'll be back after this.
Before coming to Healing is a Choice, I was completely worn out.
I, coming here, was an empty shell.
I don't want people to think that you have to be just desperate to come. It's for people who don't know what to do next.
To open up to 8 different strangers was actually a relief. And so much got off my shoulders, and I feel so much lighter now, and I feel so much better, and I feel like I can give so much more to other people, and I don't feel ashamed, and I don't feel like I'm damaged goods.
Group therapy is different than individual therapy.
It's like a year's worth of individual therapy.
They fit together nicely.
The Healing is a Choice weekend is coming up January 20th. To register or to find out more, call today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or log on to newlife.com.
I leave here with hope.
For the first time in 2 years, I am free.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEWLIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're going to go to Mary from Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on WCVX. Hello, Mary.
Hi. How are you, everyone, today? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling us. How could we help?
Well, my question is this. I'm finally getting up the courage to file for divorce. The reason that I've decided to do that is I've been married 20 years. Most of the whole marriage has been involved with alcohol and verbal abuse, which subsequently led to an abortion in the marriage after having 3 children. And this is both our first and only marriage. And I think that a lot of the anger that my husband has towards me is about that. And he takes no responsibility for pushing me into that. And he calls me a murderer, you know, pretty frequently, plus the B word, the C word, the F word, and all that. And we've been on 2 marriage encounter retreats, numerous pastors, priests, counselors, and it's gotten so bad that we both have lost our jobs, and he basically refuses to help participate in the family financially, emotionally, anyway. And so I just, you know, I've tried everything that you could possibly think of, and I feel pretty strong that God's, you know, going to be okay with me leaving because of the verbal abuse. And once he found out that I taped him, because I wanted to have some kind of proof in my own head, now he's not verbally abusing me, but he's just refusing to even speak to me. So I guess what my question is, how can a woman who's been through all of this leave knowing that she still loves her husband but knows that she can't live like this anymore?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that kind of bothers me, Mary, is that you've been living with this and living in the midst of it, and it sounds really bad. And then now you're deciding to divorce him.
Yes.
Versus maybe there are some other steps that you could take rather than just living with it and then one day, boom, you file for divorce.
Well, I don't think it's just boom. I mean, we've talked about it a lot. We've been through a lot of counseling, a lot of retreats. There is no hope. I'm being honest. The man is incapable.
Is he saying he wants a divorce?
Yes. He's saying, you know, F you, I don't want nothing to do with you. I hate women. You know,
is that because you were wanting to leave?
What?
Mary, is that because you were wanting to leave?
No, he's always talked to me this way. And the only way I'm going to be able to get him out is to file for divorce. See, if I file for a legal separation, it just prolongs the agony. I don't see any hope. And I've talked to numerous counselors and priests and pastors, and everybody
is in
agreement.
Yeah, I hear that it's really, really difficult. But what have you done over the years regarding his alcoholism?
Well, there's nothing I can do about it. I've, you know, he tried to chase me down once driving, and he got arrested for it. I had to pull a policeman over.
What have you done?
He blames me. What have I done? Oh, I've been to Al-Anon for 16 years.
Have you moved out?
No. Where am I going to move to?
Mary, hold on.
Is nowhere to move.
Well, that's not true.
Well, it is true. There is nowhere for me to take my two children and go. There's no family support or friends that want you in their house.
There may not be family or friends that you have located yet, but there are places. Here's what I'm concerned about. And then this is apart from your early question, and it goes to Steve's point. I would be concerned that that along the process here, that he has been allowed to make you this miserable continuously over and over and over again, and has had that much power.
Right.
And if somebody is a practicing abusive alcoholic,
right,
especially around children, you should not be living in the house until he gets sober. Okay? Now, understand, you haven't found family or friends, but I would not, you know, exhaust that quest until you find some place that's safe. Children and women need a safe place if somebody's abusive.
Well, he only does this when the kids aren't there. So I'm the only victim. I mean,
are you not enough?
Well, yeah, I'm enough. But what I'm saying is,
what I'm saying is that he has not experienced, it sounds like, in what you've said so far, he has not experienced enough consequences that would get him to even think about whether or not he wants to get sober.
He's been given a license to abuse. And to
if we get divorced, we have to get our house up for sale because we both have lost our jobs. And if you file for divorce, the courts are going to force us to sell the house.
When you called us, what were you hoping we might say to you?
I guess, you know, it's not like God sends you a telegram and says, hey, it's okay. But I don't see any hope, and I don't want to prolong it. I'm not trying
So what were you hoping we might say?
I guess I was hoping that you would say, yeah, this is a no-win situation and you're doing the right thing.
So because we're not saying that, you're trying to convince us of how it's hopeless.
Well, it is hopeless. I don't want to stay married, nor do I want
that's
force
different.
Him to get help. Yeah, I'm not going to try to force somebody who doesn't want help to get
help. Nobody has said force him to get help. Nobody can force anybody to do anything.
Right.
Okay? But what we're telling you is that in countless situations that we have seen turn around that were, quote, hopeless, they turned around because the spouse took a stand that didn't involve trying to get somebody to do anything. They took a stance that said, you can do what you want to do, but I won't be subjecting myself to this kind of stuff. I want to have a good marriage. I can't control you, but I won't be around. I won't be here as long as you're using drugs or alcohol or abusive or whatever. So we're not going to be together until you agree to go work this out.
And it might even come to where you're able to say to him, and when your friends ask you, how are things going with your wife and children, that you will tell them, my wife and children live in a shelter because I'm not safe for them.
No, I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't put my kids through that. That sounds like a liberal, I mean, it sounds good when you're sitting there, but I would never put my kids in a liberal shelter that's going to do more damage. I've been through the social service thing.
Mary,
they're a bunch of nuts.
Mary, I don't know
they
who
are.
Mary, I don't know who you're talking to. We didn't say anything. Hold on. We didn't say anything about a liberal shelter. We didn't say anything about social services.
Wow.
There's plenty of Christian.
I'm on the board. I'm on the board of a Christian shelter that does exactly what we're talking about every single day for many, many women.
But I'm not going to put my kids in that situation. I'm an educated individual. I'm quite capable of taking care of myself. I am not going to put my kids in a shelter. I'll kick him out, but I'm not going to leave. Why should me and the children have to leave?
Why? Good question. Mm-hmm. And nobody said that a shelter is the only answer. Why don't you kick him out and say, you can come back in, when you're in treatment and going to be sober
here.
The
only way I can kick him out is to file for divorce. There's no other way to kick somebody out.
No, that's not true.
Or how would you kick him out? You have to legally do it.
You can legally do it without divorce.
How?
Well, that's what a good attorney is for. But are you open to that?
Yeah, I've already been to an attorney. This is the only way. This is what she's telling me. You cannot, unless there's domestic violence, which there isn't. Verbal abuse does not constitute domestic violence.
Okay.
Unless somebody physically hurts you, you can't kick them out of their own home.
Well, here's kind of the bottom line, is that you wanted us to say that it's hopeless and that it would be okay, and that really isn't our position. It's not our position.
Yeah, I'm concerned, Mary, that you're not doing the things that are going to protect you. That's what I'm concerned about. I'm not even talking about divorce or not divorce. That you're learning the skills to be able to protect yourself when somebody else is hurtful instead of getting, you know, kind of victimized by it.
Well, that's why I'm trying to start to take a stand now. I feel like that the best solution here is for us to part. I don't see him changing. I think that this is something in his personality. I think this is a choice. He has no intention of saving the marriage nor fighting for myself or the children.
We're not
even
talking about that.
There really is no option here other than divorce.
We're not even talking about that. What we're talking about are options that women live out every day to get healthy and protect themselves and this, that, and the other. And then others have to deal with what that means for them. And many times they come around and many times they don't. But we're just concerned that you're going from perpetual victimization for many, many years to kind of getting away from it all. And maybe there's some things that would be good to be working on in the interim that would equip you to deal with abusive people. That's what we're concerned about.
It's hopeless, even if it ends as you say it's going to take kind of the graduated steps toward that. And certainly anybody that's using, you can't fix anything with until
they
stop
using. Let me tell you.
You can't force him.
When you go through a divorce, you realize that there is something worse than a bad marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And there is very little hope in the divorce situation for your kids, and they live with it. And so that's why...
And you don't really get rid of the person.
No,
you just get all
right.
the things you
that's
hate.
That's right. And it's still there, and you have no influence. And so I'm just encouraging... I think we're all encouraging you to take a second look at where you are and to find some other options other than, okay,
immediate divorce. I'm
not even talking about the divorce question. What I'm talking about is how she handles herself vis-a-vis somebody that's abusing substances and abusive.
Right.
Because many times, and let's take it past this situation, that what people do is they get caught up in the person's dysfunction and all of the stuff and trying to get him to do this and get him to do that, et cetera, et cetera. And then obviously can't take it anymore.
Right.
And so then you go to the other extreme as opposed to setting the limits that somebody has to deal with the limit. And as Jesus said, we're salt and light. So when you become light in a situation that dysfunction doesn't work with anymore, then that puts the heat on that person to either get better or they go away.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm concerned about for people in all situations.
Then on another issue with the abortion, you know, in January we've got a healing is a choice coming up. But abortion is one of the issues that we deal with, and there is someone, we have a donor that will scholarship anyone who has had an abortion and wants to deal with that pain and the guilt and the shame. And so hold on. I want to talk to you about that, because that can be a huge, huge step out of the guilt and the shame of that abortion. And that's in January. And, of course, we deal with anxiety and depression and all the other things with Healing is a Choice. If you can find out about that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's go to Augustine from Anaheim, California. KKLA is the station. Hi there.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, fine. It's challenging, but I'm hanging in there.
Well, what's going on?
Well, I, right now, my question is, My husband has left the home
mm-hmm.
because he is a sex addict.
Mm-hmm.
And among other things, he messed with prostitutes and he's doing illegal stuff. I mean, just stuff that can get him in jail that's totally illegal. But, you know, as far as dealing with, you know, but I'm not going to go into details about that. But my question is, we have a home that is paid for. And my question is, am I being codependent by paying the bills to make sure that we don't lose our home while he's squandering his money off on prostitutes?
So you're essentially covering the prostitute bill.
I have to, because if I don't, our house is paid for. If he starts squandering money on all the bills, you know, and running up bills, they'll go after our house, and I'm not having that. You know, yes,
bill,
I am.
The prostitute's billing?
I am thinking the long term, our home.
Yeah.
I want to
mm-hmm.
keep it, you know, safe.
All right, well,
if he's not responsible, I have to take over and be responsible.
All right. Well, we'll try to give you some help right after this, okay? All right. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need some help.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
All right, we're talking with Augustine from Anaheim. And Augustine, what is the question that you have for us?
The question I have is that my husband is a sex addict, and he fled the home because I refused to have sex with him. I haven't had sex with him in a year because I have common sense. I have wisdom. And he got angry and he left. He's been gone since August,
mm-hmm.
and I'm holding up the fort,
mm-hmm.
and I pay all the bills. But he's still, you know, he's getting in debt with credit cards, and I pay them because I want to protect our assets.
Okay, so now can I stop for 1 second? You said several times that you don't want to lose the house, but you're talking about credit cards. Now, is the house somehow encumbered on your credit cards?
No. He uses credit cards to, you know, withdraw money off to pay for prostitutes. But what I'm saying, if he starts squandering all the money on the credit cards, I don't want a lien or anything to, you know, come yeah. against.
Do you work, or is he the one that works?
No, I have my own business.
You have your own business.
Okay. And he works. Yes, he have. He works. He works two jobs. Yes.
Okay. Let me say the quick answer. I don't quite know how your credit cards could encumber your house, but maybe. That's possible if you put it up. I don't understand that.
And I didn't know prostitutes took credit cards either.
Let me put something. Say one thing. A couple of the credit cards were in collections. I snatched them out of collections before you know, affects his credit, because his credit is everything.
Okay,
and
just stop.
I am trying to protect his credit, because the credit...
His
credit?
You know what I mean?
Okay,
you know,
just, can you just stop for 1 second, please? Okay. If you're worried about your house and protecting the house, what I would do immediately is I would call a good attorney and show him how the deed is held and all of that, and then how the credit cards, what you've signed up for, and this, that, and the other, and get a very, very clear picture of what's in danger and what isn't. Okay? And then, secondly, I would talk to the attorney about how can you legally protect yourself from, you know, whatever
his
behavior is, because you don't know what, you know, you don't know what kind of stands and stances you can't make until you know what rules you're playing by. And you're asking, you know, kind of do you pay the bills or do you not, or this, that, and the other. And I think you got to do your pre-work first and find out what your real exposure is. And then you can know how to set limits and consequences with him.
Right, I understand. But I think the reason why, because I'm praying that he comes home. So, in all honesty, I want him to come home because I love my husband.
Hey.
And I'm not at that place because I love him. I want him to come home, and I'm praying for him that, you know, he comes home because I love him. And
how about this? How about going to Sex
Anon? What was that?
Or Codependence of Sex Addicts?
How about one of those organizations for you?
Oh, I don't need that. Why would I need that? I don't have that kind of problem. He does.
No, this is...
But it's for, that's his issue.
It's for, Augustine, it's for someone in relationship with a sex addict. It's for the spouse of a sex addict.
Like Al-Anon isn't for an alcoholic. It's for a wife of an alcoholic or a husband of an alcoholic. And I think you need to spend some time with some people who have been in your same situation.
Because it seems like you're trying to kind of protect him from certain consequences, so in the hopes of him coming back and things being okay. So you don't want him to create too big of a mess for himself versus, you know, kind of separating out your funds from his and letting the consequences fall on him. As long as, you know, you're not in jeopardy of losing your house, as we discussed.
Yeah. And is he still living there?
No, he left.
His name on the deed. No, he doesn't live here. He moved out in August.
Okay.
Well,
he moved out in August of this year.
If I could give you a prescription, it would be to get involved in a codependency group or a Sex Anon group, and to get some counseling for yourself, and to get a really good attorney.
Right.
And
because the best hope of him changing his ways is for him to fall on his face.
That's right. That's right. And to protect
and
his...
And so you don't want to get in the way of that happening.
It's almost like you need a legal separation so that your credit is your credit and his
right.
becomes
I mean,
his
you
and
you
let
want
it go.
A credit card together at all.
Right. All right. Sandra from Willington, Delaware listens to us on the internet. How are you?
All right. How are you all today?
Good. Thanks for holding on.
Oh, my pleasure. I think my question's pretty straightforward today, and that it's related to counseling.
Okay.
Yeah. How do you decide if and when the time has come to stop marital counseling?
To stop?
Stop because the therapist isn't any good, or stop because nobody's doing anything?
Or because your marriage is so good you don't think you need it anymore.
Well, we've been working for a long, long time, and we had been in and out of counseling over the years, and things have really turned around in the last 6 months, and certain things have happened that have stabilized things.
That's good.
And it is good.
So it's worked.
It has worked.
Oh,
yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to give you a quick analogy, Sandra. The Bible says in Hebrews to make level paths for your feet, so that the limb that is injured will not be further put out of joint, but be healed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you've had a broken limb, then you have a crutch, you have braces, you have help, and you don't try anything too hard. And, you know, what counseling does is it provides a structure to help you guys through some rocky times so, you know, the marriage doesn't break in the process. At some point, you know, you get to where in the marriage counseling that you guys are able to walk on your own, and two things don't happen. A, you're able to continue to walk, to be married well, and B, you're not further injured. And so maybe that might be an answer, but you might want to stay in just to make it better and better.
All right, we'll take a break and come right back.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, we are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Let's talk with Sue, see how she's doing today from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. WORD is the station. Hello there.
Hi. I'm a little nervous, but
okay.
I just wanted to ask a question about my adult son. He's 32, and he's living with his girlfriend, who is my age.
Okay.
How old
are you?
Yeah, what is that?
How old am I? 56.
Okay, 32, and 56, all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's right in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a destructive relationship. She's very volatile, and I'm sure he can be at times, too. And but he works for her. Of course, the business closed yesterday, so neither one have a job right now. The house is getting close to being foreclosed.
Mm-hmm.
And he has no driver's license. He's lost that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he drives her car here and there. And I think he's afraid to get out of the relationship because he doesn't know how else to make things work. Plus, he does do some drugs.
Okay. So what's the question for us?
This weekend we got a call early in the morning from the police because she had called the police to say that he stole her car, which he didn't really. He went down to buy cigarettes, was gone no longer, and
okay.
She thought he should have.
Okay.
So they called us and said, do we bring him to your house or take him to the police? So we let him come here for the day.
Mm-hmm.
I did take him back to his house that evening.
Mm-hmm.
Who said they'll bring him there or to the...
The police called, and they said, we're either, you know, we would like to just drop him off at your house, but if we can't, then he goes to the police.
And the thinking of not going to what was the thinking behind not just letting him go to the police?
I mean to jail. Just because I guess I just couldn't do it.
Just couldn't do it.
Well, he didn't.
Yeah.
So he did or didn't steal the car? He just borrowed it.
I'm sorry. What's that?
I don't understand. Do y'all understand? Was a crime committed or not?
No. No.
Well, then why were they going to take him to jail if there was no crime?
I guess they could have pressed charges saying that he took the car, and you know.
Okay.
I guess against that.
Okay, so he lives with this lady that calls the police because he's gone too long to buy cigarettes.
He calls the police about every 3 months.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the question for us, given that you had him come to your house and then you took him back over to the 56-year-old woman's house? What's the question for us?
Right. What do I do the next time that happens? And, I mean, I just don't know what to do anymore.
I think the more important...
It's their squabbling that you're ending up in the middle of.
Yeah, and I have put down boundaries, like I've not accepted calls and all that before. But
let me say this, Sue. Let me say this, Sue. Your son's girlfriend has a really unique way of dealing with conflict. Mm-hmm. That is calling the police. That's not something
we
deal with all the time. That we deal with conflict, but we just call the police on the person that I'm living with. You know, most people would like to avoid the police being involved in any
in their relationship.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In the relationship. So, you know, I got to tell you, this is one of those things where at 32, you're going to have to let this kid go. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to tell him if you want help with the drug problem, if you want help with the character issues, I'll help you, but I can't do anything else for you.
This is the thing, Sue. You help somebody, you know, when they're in trouble. But then if they keep getting in the same trouble again and again, you have to think to yourself, maybe my helping isn't helping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so
tell him the last time he came home, which was about 5 years ago, he stayed for a while. And I said, this time when you leave, that's the last.
Good.
You have to make it on your own.
But that wasn't true, right? He's there now?
Well, no, it is true. I mean, he only came for a few hours during the day. But I meant to live. He couldn't.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So he didn't stay.
So if he's with somebody who continually calls the police, they kind of have to figure that out.
Yes.
Right?
Indeed. That's right.
So the next time the police call you, I think you need to redirect them to the girlfriend.
Say, it's not my car. My car is in the driveway. I don't quite
my
know.
My son is a grown adult, and he doesn't live here anymore.
And you know, spending a couple hours in jail or an evening in jail isn't the worst thing.
And
well,
Sue,
I understand that.
Okay. I can guarantee you there are thousands and thousands of stories of boys who grew up because they spent a week in jail or a night in jail when they realize nobody is going to come in and rescue me anymore.
Okay. And I do know all this because my oldest son was a heroin addict.
Oh.
And the only way he got, he is now clean for over six years.
Yay.
Good deal. And it's because he was in prison for a while.
Yeah. So,
are you going to some sort of...
I have.
Al-Anon.
I've gone to support groups, yes. That's how I got the strength to deal with.
Yeah, I'd go back, too.
But it's like having to do it all over again.
It's hard, isn't it? You've been through it with one son. You don't want to go through it with the second.
No.
Yeah.
But you sure don't want to...
I don't have the strength anymore.
Well, that's my point, too. I've got a good friend who I've known for, since graduate school. And... he grew up in an alcoholic family and started going to Alateen. And he learned there that he had these codependent issues. And when he graduated from Alateen, he started going to Al-Anon. He doesn't live with an addict. His wife is a wonderful person. He's got a good, profession. But he realized that his growth path was always going to be around getting better and better and better and more, clean from his codependent patterns. And he's stayed in it for 3 decades. And part of it is he helps other people. And I'm not saying that you have to do that, Sue, but But recovery and growth and spiritual growth and all of that for any of us should not be something we do in a crisis. It's something we do as a continuous path of life.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's
I want you in some sort of support system where when a crisis does happen, what you're feeling right now, when you said, I don't have the strength for it,
mm-hmm.
well, that's when we are looking around at 8 or 10 faces and we know that God is going to give us the strength for it from himself and through those people around us. So I'd like to see mm-hmm. you get back plugged in. Yeah.
So to not be alone will help you cope with it. And, you know, one other thought, your son, your oldest son, who's the heroin addict, if he's in recovery, I'm sure he might have some insight for you into what worked.
Great point.
Really
good
point.
What didn't work.
That's right.
You know, what was helpful.
And he has
good.
Told me.
Good.
You know, he said, why do you do, you know, why do you even?
Well, listen to him.
He's been there.
Yeah,
listen
probably
to
tells
him.
You yeah. to go back in the group, I would
bet. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad you called, and I'm going to send you my book, Walking Into Walls, and I hope that that's going to be of help to you. And let's go over here to Marie and see how she's doing there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on WORD. Hello, Marie.
Hello. You must be running a special today for Pittsburgh moms with grown sons.
We are.
Put them up, lock them up in a room together.
It's a two-for-one.
We're forming a group.
Special. So you have a son that has a problem?
Yes, I do. My question is...
How's his girlfriend?
How old? Oh, no. She's mid-20s.
Mid-20s.
Yeah, he's 29 years old.
Okay.
He was transferred with his company to work out of the country for a couple years, where he met a lovely girl. However, he has been a committed Christian, accepted the Lord when he was very young, was in active ministry for years.
An active ministry and, as an adult?
Yes, yes, with a Christian band. And he's a great son. He's a responsible, good job, kind, everything that a mom could want. He's fallen in love with this young lady who we love, but she's Muslim. And her family has said the absolute only way that he can hope to marry her is if he converts to being a Muslim.
Hmm.
And he is very much in love with her and mm-hmm. has told his father and I that he has become a Muslim. And
what does that mean, Marie?
That means that... he actually has said the prayer that they say, that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet.
So he's rejected Jesus.
Yes, exactly. Point. That's what we've discussed. And he's very, we do talk very openly, his father and myself and him. And he actually has asked for our advice. We've always.
All right, hold on. We're going to give you some help right after this.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Well, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Henry Cloud, and we're talking with Marie about her son who has rejected Christianity, has accepted Allah as the only God, and is asking for her advice.
So when he asks for advice, Marie, what is he asking? Should I do this or not, or what's he asking?
Yeah.
Well, I think that he, even though he said he's become a Muslim,
he's
really riding the fence, and I've told him that. You know, he will go to church with us occasionally still on Sundays.
What does he believe about Jesus?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Does he really no longer believe in Jesus?
No, he says he loves Jesus. This is the whole thing.
Oh, so this is a scam.
So he's just doing this for her.
Well, I asked him that. I said, if she wasn't in the picture, what would
That's the right question.
You know, would you still be a Muslim? And he said, well, right now he's searching for the answers, the truths, and that he loves God very much, and, you know, he's basically searching, you know, he's reading the Bible, he's reading the Quran.
Interesting.
You know
what I would tell him if I gave him advice, Marie?
What's that?
If I were to give him, you said he asked for advice. What I would say, if he's really seeking and he's confused about faith and God and this, that, and the other, I would say, God bless you for seeking. That's what God tells us to do. You know,
and I'll join you in your search
and I'll pray for you and this, that, and the other. But let me give you some really good advice, son. And I would give this to you no matter which direction you were going. Do not get married until you have your faith crisis figured out. Because if you decide to go be a Muslim, and that's really the direction that you're going because that's what you believe, then that's one thing. But if you decide to, you know, believe in Jesus and go that direction, that's another thing. And you don't want to, you know, go down the wrong road and hook everything up to, you know, one cart and be headed in for a big spill. So I would put anything about the marriage on hold till you figure this out.
And that's what he said to us this weekend. He said, why do you think I have not made a commitment? Because she wants to get engaged and, you know, all this. And, and he said, I can't, in all honesty to myself or her, do anything until I have this figured out.
Smart boy.
Yeah,
smart boy. I would water that plant that's sprouting there.
Okay, so it's and her and her mom are coming for a visit. We live on opposite ends of the country, and they're coming actually this weekend. And this is a big deal in their culture because, you know, to meet the parents, they believe that, like, you know, kind of marry the whole family kind of thing. You know, I have nothing against them personally. It's just Jesus is my Lord, you know.
Right.
And, you know, it. I don't want to reject them, but at the same time, you know, and we have talked openly, even the mom and I, we have talked and said, you know, this is very difficult. Marriage is difficult in the best of circumstances, but this is bringing different cultures, different faiths, different everything. So, okay, I think that's great advice, and it confirms. I was praying to the Holy Spirit that he would really give you good wisdom for me, and I believe that is absolutely
This trip, this visit, though, kind of complicates things a little bit for me here.
Okay.
Because while your husband, I mean, while your son is talking to you and everything, it sounds like we're just moving right on down the road here toward marriage. Coming all the way across the country to meet.
Yeah, he went out there to California about a month ago and mm-hmm. met her father.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he said, you know, that she wants to get engaged and get married.
Where does he live?
Where does she live?
Where does he live?
Oh, he just moved back. He was working in the Caribbean for 2.5 years, and he met her. She was in the Peace Corps there.
Hmm.
And
where does he live?
He lives in the Pittsburgh area.
And she...
And she's in California?
And she's still out here?
In California. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Where would Where would they reside together?
Well, that's another issue, because he has a good job that, you know, he's working in this area, and she just got a job in California that she absolutely loves, and that was the other thing. It seemed like there was no compromise. It was like him giving all the compromise.
Well, and that's what I was wondering about. That's something to look at. Besides the faith issue, what are the other issues? Because I think that one is so big, it can overshadow all else.
Right.
But this sounds like perhaps a person that is very persistent, and she wants what she wants, and her family wants what they want, perhaps. I mean, maybe lovely people. But in order for him to marry her, does he have to pretty much be enveloped into her family?
Well, that was another thing we discussed, because I said that was a concern of mine. I mean, she's close to her family. He likes that because we're a close family. That was...
Sometimes these things take radical surgery.
And we just had a radical idea.
Guys are getting uncomfortable. Okay.
Henry and I want to take him to lunch.
Okay, I'll
I'm serious.
Him right out.
I'm serious. We want to take him to lunch.
He comes to California, right?
Yeah, he wants to come actually within the next few weeks.
Okay. Will you tell him that, you know, we love to talk to people about faith. And if and in his not about his marriage or all of that, he can figure out what he. But if he wants to talk about Jesus, Steve and I would like to take him to lunch.
Where would he have to go to that for that?
Southern California, L.A., Laguna Beach area. Some we'll meet him somewhere down here. Yeah,
she's in Orange.
Well, perfect. That's right in the middle.
Very close.
So perfect.
All righty, we'll set up a date.
All right, now just hold on. We'll get your address and all of that, and give you my assistant's number, and we can set that up. But sometimes, you know, you just got to save a guy from a lifetime of heartache. I mean, I got to believe this young guy wakes up 5 years from now and goes, "Oh my goodness, what have I done?
Mm-hmm. Who am I, and what have I done?"
And to me, what I wanted to talk to, I'm always interested in when somebody is examining the faith,
mm-hmm.
and I would like to know, what is it about Jesus that is a stumbling block to you?
Right.
What is that? Because ultimately, you know, that's going to be what this rests upon.
Yeah,
he's either going to, you know, go one way or the other. The Bible's pretty clear about this. We were talking over the break about this was, you know, Solomon's undoing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right. I mean, you're talking about somebody who wrote a big part of the Bible and built the temple. And
he's in good company.
Did all of that
stuff. Yeah.
Anyway, it'd be great if we could help him. All right. Well, we're out of time. We need your help right here. You can call us if you need help at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Or you could help us at that same number or that same web address. We really do love you. We care about you. And we're committed to transformation. Even if we have to take you to lunch, that's what we're committed to. But if you can support us, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Everything that we're going to do next year, it depends on our year-end giving. And maybe you've never given before, and God is urging you today to become a first-time giver. We've had so many first-time givers this year. Thank you so much for all who have supported us. And I just ask, if God urges, you respond to that urge. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
to make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.